Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. How is everybody today? Everybody excited as we wrap up our generosity messages for this month? Hey, y'all remember what the first one was, right? What did we talk about? The heart of generosity, right? Second message was what? The opportunities of generosity. Last week we talked about the cost of that generosity that God calls us to give. This week to finish up, we're going to talk about putting it somewhere. Where should we put all the generosity that God gives us to give? We should put it into practice, shouldn't we? We should actually start doing some of what God tells us to do. Amen? Not setting on our own, hiding and hoarding everything for ourselves. Amen? We need to put it into practice. Because guess what? If we don't put God's word into practice, what are we doing studying? We fail being a Christian if we don't put what we read and what we're taught and what we learn from God into practice in our own lives, aren't we? And remember, again, that act of generosity that we give can make a big difference in somebody else's life. Can it? Are you excited to help somebody else's life, to change somebody's life? Amen. I know I am today. So today, we're concluding that series called Be Generous. In a world where self-interest and material pursuits often take center stage, this series has focused on the incredible power of generosity. I think since we've done 4 weeks of the Good Samaritan message or text, I think we got a pretty good, different understanding, a more in-depth understanding of that situation. Amen. In the Bible. I hope you did too. But because remember, again, God's most powerful generosity that He give us comes from John 3:16. That He give us His own Son to die for us. Amen. Guess what? If we're saved, we've accepted that, right? We've accepted the fact that God give us Jesus, His Son, to die for us on that cross. And rose 3 days later, right? So guess what? If we don't do anything with that generosity, we got problems, don't we? What would we even accept it for? If we can't be generous with the great gift that God gives us in His Son and what He leads us to do, we might need to get saved again, mightn't we? We might need to get a little bit deeper in there. Amen? Because God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. Are you giving today? Hey, guess what? Remember, it can be given in different ways, right? It don't have to be money. It can be time. It can be talent. It can be a host of different things. Amen? And that's the big idea. Again, every act of generosity that we do can make a big difference in somebody else's lives. Every act of generosity that we do can make a big difference in somebody's lives. And guess what? When we do those acts of generosity, not only does it make a difference in their lives, but it makes a difference in our lives. It makes us a lot more happy, don't it? It makes our soul feel a whole lot better when we're generously helping somebody instead of begrudgingly doing it. Amen? In this series, we're going to take a deep dive again into the story of the Good Samaritan. Most of us are familiar with the story. Amen? But hopefully, you've been able to get something new from what we've taught the past few weeks. Remember, this is a story within a story. Amen? Jesus is answering a question, and an expert of the law asked how he could inherit eternal life. But he was actually asking how to have the best life here on earth. And that's when Jesus told that story, wasn't it? Luke 10:30 says what? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and went away, leaving him afraid. A Jewish man was traveling down that road, wasn't he? The most dangerous, treacherous road that was known back in the days as the ascent of blood. It was infamous for all sorts of muggings and violent robberies happening there. In Jesus' story, thieves robbed that man, didn't they? They beat him up Amen. And they left him beside the road. Luke 10:31 says, the priest happened to go down by the road, or down the road, the same road. And when he saw that man, what did he do? Remember? He passed by on the other side, didn't he? So that guy's laying there in a world of hurt, tore up from the floor up. Amen. I would imagine that when he looked up and saw the priest coming his way, he thought, thank you, God, for sending me some help. Amen. I know I would have. But to his horror, to that man's horror, the priest walked to the other side of the road and disappeared, didn't he? Luke 10:32 says, so too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. I'm sure that guy was thinking, well, the priest ain't do nothing, but surely this guy is going to help me. Surely he can do something for the pain I'm in. Surely he won't just walk on by. But guess what? Just like that priest crossed on the other side, he did as well. Just walked away, walked down. That poor guy had to be thinking that was his last chance, didn't he? But then Jesus himself put a twist in the story. He says a Samaritan came by. Samaritans were hated by the people that were listening to Jesus. And Luke 10:33-35 says this. But the Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He brought him into an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. Watch him. Help him if he needs it, right? And when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense that you might have. He went above and beyond, didn't he? The Samaritan went above and beyond anything that anybody would probably do today. Most people would do today anyway. Amen? Because the Samaritan not only helped the man in need, but he went the extra mile. Sometimes meeting a need will cost us something. Won't it? That's what we talked about last week. I encourage you to go watch that online if you missed it. Amen? But then, after Jesus tells this story, he challenges the law expert and everyone listening to act on what he said. Look at Luke 10:36-37. That's the scripture for this week. It says this. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers? The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, what? Go and do what? Likewise. Go and do likewise. Oh man, I bet we could all take a lesson from that today, can't we? Because I know we all still need to go and do likewise. None of us are living the way God wants us to do 100%, are we? We're not perfect, are we? We try, but most of the time we fall short today still, don't we? But notice that the expert in the law replied by saying, the one who had mercy. What is mercy? What is mercy? Mercy is this. Mercy is love itself in action. Mercy is love in action. So many of us see mercy as a feeling, don't we? But it's more than just feeling sorry for somebody. Mercy involves actually doing something about it. Not just feeling sorry, but actually doing something about the situation. Amen? Webster's Dictionary defines mercy in 2 ways. First of all, mercy is refraining from harm or punishment. And secondly, it says, mercy is unexpected kindness. That sounds like Good Samaritan right there, don't it? Unexpected kindness. Because truly that's what he gave that guy on the road. So we see that there's 2 sides to mercy. There's a forgiving side, withholding what I deserve. And then there's the compassionate side, which is giving me what I don't deserve. Amen. The forgiving side is refraining from punishment. And the compassionate side is going the extra mile to help somebody with unexpected kindness. The Good Samaritan, what did he do, remember? Again, he got off his donkey, didn't he? He got off his own donkey and did something that the Levite and the priest wouldn't do. He took care of the man that was robbed. He was beaten and half dead, wasn't he? He had mercy on that man. The priest and the Levite surely showed no mercy, did they? Mercy is love truly in action, isn't it? Jesus asked, which of these was a neighbor? Luke 10:37 again. The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. The Good Samaritan story is not just a story about random acts of kindness. It's a story about true love in action. Jesus himself is still calling all of us to go and do it just like them. To put love, that type of love, into practice, into action. When we help others, we in turn help ourselves, don't we? When we give, it comes back to us. When we're doing what we are helping others, but we're also helping ourselves, aren't we? So let's be practical here. Over the next few minutes, I want to talk about how to show mercy. You say, what? How to show mercy. Amen. How many of y'all have problems sometimes showing mercy? I know I do, amen. How many of y'all watching at home have problems sometimes showing mercy? Amen. If you want to build a lifestyle of mercy, here's three things that we can work on. The first one is this. Mercy itself begins with awareness. Hey, guess what? Almost everything begins with awareness, don't it? But today we're talking about mercy. Begins with awareness. Look for the needs of people around you. Trust me, we can't show mercy if we don't look where we can give it, can we? Start looking for the needs in your neighborhood, the needs of people in your family, the needs of people at work, the needs of people that you hang out with at football games, basketball games, wherever, church even. Amen? Hey, trust me, even if we're here in church, we might still need some mercy. Amen? And a need. Mercy always begins with that awareness. It begins with paying attention. It begins with noticing. Amen? The reason that we're not merciful people is not because we're bad people. It's not because we're mean people, is it? It's because sometimes we're just too busy to pay attention. We're moving from one thing to the next, and we're not paying attention to the things around us. If we're not looking and not listening, guess what? We just can't be merciful, can we? Because we're unaware. Amen? Here's the next principle. Mercy flows out of unconditional love. Mercy flows out of unconditional love. Amen? God's grace, His mercy flowed out of unconditional love that He gives us His Son. Amen? Don't be offended by the sins of other people. Don't let what their sins that you see in situations you can give mercy and love, don't let that stop you from helping that need. Amen. Grace is messy, isn't it? Don't be offended by the sins that they do. You cannot say, get your act together, and then I'll like you. Go clean up your lives, and then I'll accept you. Amen. How many of y'all have done that? I know I have done that. Amen. How about y'all? You at home, have y'all done that before? Have to have them clean up something before we'll try to help them and accept them? You have to accept people where they are in lives. We have to accept people where they are in lives. Guess what? If you want to be like Jesus, you're going to have to do that, aren't you? You're going to have to accept them where they are. Because I don't know about you, but if y'all remember, Jesus pretty hung out with pretty much the worst people, didn't he? Worst kind of people and the worst sinners in his day to try to help him. Amen? And here's the point. I cannot look out for people if I'm looking down on them. You cannot look out for other people if you're looking down on them. Amen? If you as a Christian are looking down on somebody, you can't look out for them. You can't see their need. You can't find their awareness. Amen. Jude chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 says this. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to others, but do not... Y'all hear this? Or I'm sorry. But do so with great caution, hating the sin that contaminate their lives. Showing mercy does not mean that I excuse everything and say that everything is okay. Amen. If we're sinning there, we still gotta hate that sin, don't we? So showing mercy does not mean that we can't just do it and say everything is okay. It's not okay, is it? If you're out there and are addicted to things, it's okay. Showing mercy does not mean that I'll look the other way. There's a difference between acceptance of them and approval of them, isn't it? Jesus accepts me completely. Amen. But He does not approve of everything I do. How about you? Jesus accepts you completely, but He don't approve of everything we do, does He? 1 Peter 4:8 says this. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. We got to look out for others' interests. Don't look at their sins. Look at their problems. Be patient with people. How many of y'all got a problem being patient? I know I do. Amen. They're in a process, aren't they? The people that we're trying to work with, that we're trying to help, that we're trying to show mercy to, are in a process at some point. It's unrealistic to expect a non-believer to have the same moral standards as a believer. Hey, sometimes it's hard to get same believers to have the same moral standards. Amen. First, the non-believers, though, they don't understand it, do they? Second, they also don't have the power to do anything about it. And third thing is this. Mercy means choosing your words wisely. Mercy means choosing your words wisely. You are never persuasive when you are abrasive. We're never persuasive when we are abrasive, especially with our words. Amen? Mercy, though, puts a monitor on our mouths. If I'm going to show mercy, there's some things that I just cannot say. Amen? How many of y'all want? We want to say them, don't we? We all want to say them, but some things we just can't say. We have to watch the words that we say, don't we? I can't be mean to people. I can't be rude to people. Amen. I can't be sarcastic to people. I can't put people down if I'm going to try to show mercy, do I? I have to choose my words carefully. Colossians 4:6 says this. Let your conversations be gracious and attentive so that you will have the right response for everyone. For everyone. Amen. You're never persuasive when you're abrasive. A little kindness goes a long way, don't it? Showing mercy means thinking about the other person instead of thinking about myself. It is doing what's best for them instead of doing what's best for me. Amen? When we show mercy to people, we're sharing the love of Jesus with them. We're sharing the mercy that God gave us and gracious enough give it to us. Amen? So where do we begin? Where do we begin? There are six ways that we can show mercy this week. Number one, look for people in crisis and listen to them. Look for people in crisis and listen to them. If you want to help somebody, listen to them. There's healing in listening. People need to be heard, don't they? If they're hurting, they need to be heard. They need to talk to somebody, don't they? They need to share what issues bother them. That's why people pay big money to counselors, because they need to be heard. Open our ears more than our mouths. Amen. To listen to people that are in crisis. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. What's a burden? What is a burden? Y'all ever think that? You ever wonder that? How about there at home? Give me a thumbs up if you ever wonder what a burden is. We're going to tell you right now. A burden could be a lot of things. It might be a physical burden. It might be a financial burden. Or a relation burden. But for the most part, burdens themselves are emotional stress. When people are under emotional stress, it burdens them down heavily. Amen. The verse says, carry each other's burden. How do you do that? How do you carry another person's burden? By listening to them. Amen. By listening to them. When we listen to them, to somebody who's going through a crisis, we are showing mercy. And in that way, we're fulfilling that law of Christ. And what law of Christ is that we're doing? It's the message of the Good Samaritan. Amen. Which was what? Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Anytime you listen to somebody in crisis, you're loving your neighbors as yourselves. Amen. Second thing is this. Look for people who are grieving and people with unmet needs and help them. Look for people who are grieving and people with unmet needs and help them. Every day, somebody around us has a loss. Amen. Some type of loss. Some have lost a job. They lost their dream. They lost savings. They've lost a loved one. They've lost health. Amen. Loss is a universal problem, isn't it? We all go through it. Amen. Even us standing up here go through loss all the time. And you yourself are going to have many losses in your lives. And so will the people around you. There is no loss without some type of grieving and pain, though, is it? When that happens, God wants you to show mercy to those who are suffering around you. Then, there is a whole host of people that have needs. Be practical with them. Be practical and help them. It may be as simple as a ride, as to ride somebody, or a project that helps somebody set their eyes on something. Look for people that may need something, that may need a ride, or that they will help to get that project to their house or whatever. Romans 15:2, the New Living Translation, says this: we should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. We should help others do what? What is right. Not what's wrong, not what the world wants, right? But what is right, and build them up to the Lord. The third thing is this. We have to look for people needing friends and show hospitality. Hey, even if we don't like people, guess what? We should still try to be friends with them. We should still try to show hospitality for them. That may be the mercy that you're looking for. Amen. Look for people who might be socially awkward. These folks might be uncomfortable in social settings. They may be unpopular. Everybody needs friends in their lives, don't they? God hates loneliness. God didn't make us to be lonely, did He? The book of Genesis says, it's not good for a man to be alone, right? One of the ways that we can show mercy is by looking for people who are lonely and show them hospitality. Romans 12:13 says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Sometimes people now have a different form of what hospitality is. Amen? It is truly a lost art in our culture. Having a cup of coffee with somebody is important. Consider inviting somebody over to your house. That's radical these days, isn't it? That's radical, inviting people over to your house just to show them hospitality. We're too busy, aren't we? We're too self-centered to do this. But we have to change, don't we? We have to change. We have to get back in that mindset. We must be open to people that God brings our way. Not just who we want, but everybody that God puts in front of us. Amen? The Bible says that one day we will be judged on how we treat others. The fourth thing is this. Look for people who need a second chance and be kind to them. How many of y'all know somebody that needs a second chance? No, I do. How about online? Give me a thumbs up or an amen if you know somebody that needs a second chance. Everybody stumbled, haven't they? Everybody has sinned, haven't they? Everybody has flaws. Everybody has failed. You see people who have failed all the time. Maybe in business, maybe in a relationship. Look for them. Show them mercy. Giving people a second chance is one of the most powerful ways for us to show mercy. 1 Peter 3:9 says, "Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing." What is this? That is what God has called you to do. And He will grant you His blessing. If you want God's blessing in your lives, we need to learn how to be kind and nice to people that we're rude to right now, don't we? You can do those things, but it's going to cost you. Amen? It's going to cost you. You'll receive a lot of blessings, but it's going to cost you. Amen? What will it cost? It'll cost time, won't it? It'll cost us time. Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 and 36 says, "For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and what? And you visited me." It takes time, don't it? It's going to cost you time. When was that? Matthew 25, 39, 40 says, When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me." Amen? When we do it to the least one, the ones that are suffering the most, the ones that have issues right now, the one that we can truly show mercy to right now, we do it for God. Amen? We do it to Him. That truly is the essence of Christianity, isn't it? Many of you may be saying, "What can I do? What can I do? I'm just me. I can't do nothing." But guess what, guys? Look around you. Look around you. Some of you have the ability to help single moms or widows with yard work or some type of maintenance. Amen? Take the initiative. Visit somebody in the hospital. Send a card. Buy groceries for a family in need. Be willing to babysit for people who have doctor's visits or something. The list could go on and on, couldn't it? There are all kinds of opportunities for us. It might just cost us a little bit of time. Amen? You are the light of the world, aren't you? You are the people of God. Rise up and go. The Good Samaritan got off his donkey and did something. He took care of the man who was robbed, beaten and half dead. He had mercy on that man, didn't he? Again, mercy is truly love in action. Jesus asked, "Which of these was the neighbor?" Luke 10:37 again. The expert law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." The Good Samaritan story is not a story about random acts of kindness, is it? It's truly a story about love and action. Jesus is calling each one of us to go and do just like the Samaritan did. Put love, His mercy, His love, His grace into practice. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 and 11 says this,
Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Amen. God is going to give you what you need to sow. He's going to give you the seed to sow into the other people that you help. If you'll step out in faith. If you'll step out in God's faith, He's going to give it to you. He'll give you the seed to sow so that we can help the people in need. So I challenge y'all this week. Start looking for seeds to sow. God wants to supernaturally provide us with the resources that we can give to those for His work, not for ours. The ones that are truly in need and the ones that we can truly show love through our actions. As I come for a final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank You for getting Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your message of true generosity today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the ways that we can truly put that generosity into practice, Lord, in each one of our lives, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the opportunities that You put in front of each one of us each and every day, Lord. Lord, I just ask that You impress upon each one of our hearts, Lord. Lord, that when those come up, Lord, that we are truly in tune with them, Lord. Lord, we're truly paying attention and attentive, Lord. Lord, that we are willing to be somebody's mercy, grace, and love for You today, Jesus. Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do. In the name I pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.